Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter, live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Monday, May 20th. It is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stensland with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony DiRenzo, our associate producers. Happy Monday to all of you as we get closer to Memorial Day weekend. Dawn, good morning. How was your weekend?
Good morning.
Hello.
Doing great. Going to be a hot week ahead.
Yeah. Hey, we just went from like March to August. Cool. Gregory, how are you, buddy?
Before I go on the air today, I have a list of demands that must be met.
Oh.
We must divest from, I don't know.
How was your weekend, pal?
Oh, it was good, man. It was good.
Good to see that you and I both color coordinated with our apparel today.
Yeah, I should have texted you and said, hey, are you wearing?
Yes. Soccer
your merch.
Is wearing the black t-shirt. I've got the black hoodie on, which is really weird. When it's, you know, 50 degrees out in March, I start wearing golf polos and flip-flops.
I know.
Now it'll be 80 this week and I'm wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
Ridiculous. I was like, there's no way he's going to wear the sweatshirt
tomorrow. Yeah. All right, awful.
They called each other.
We did.
Oh my God, are you wearing this tomorrow?
Like, are you doing this tomorrow? Gray or black? What do you think? we got a lot of good stuff to get to today. A big take on the battle for the black vote with Trump and Biden. Also, Donald Trump this past weekend says, you know what, big guy? You need to be subjected to a drug test before we debate. We'll get to that this morning. Also, no more debates. Two is enough, says the Biden administration. We're not doing three. We're not doing four. We'll get to that as we roll on. More kicker backlash for Harrison Butker. In fact, now people are comparing Harrison Butker's commencement speech to Tony Fauci's commencement speech to Joe Biden's commencement speech. We'll get to that as we roll along this morning. We've got protesters at the University of Pennsylvania. And if you thought Never Trumpers were a thing, wait until you read and hear about Never Biden voters. Apparently it's a thing, and one person believe it could loom larger than the Never Trumpers. We'll get to that as we move forward. Also, the cut sheet this morning, absolutely loaded. Saw the little sneak peek last night. It was like, I don't know, 47 cuts.
Wait, hang on.
Stocker's burning trees left and right over here.
The final tally this morning, 29. So we should start it in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
If we want to get through it by the end of the show.
Yes. And also, don't forget, you can keep the pandering going, as Stocker will, as we continue this morning with your donations for the bike ride coming up. Last I checked on Friday, as we broke for the weekend, like 4,300.
Nice.
Somewhere in that vicinity.
Nice.
So we'll
step
up
our game this week.
Yes, we will. All right, let's get to the news. I'm sure there is a lot of it. Round number one at 6:03. The great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning this Monday morning, May 20th. 54 degrees right now, headed up to 78 degrees. We are sponsored this morning by Turn 7 Liquidations. So those anti-Israeli protesters remaining on Drexel University's campus in Philadelphia, despite calls from school leaders to immediately disband. So everybody, all the classes right now, indefinitely, they're going to go virtual. barricades surround this new encampment while police watch along the perimeter outside of it, keeping a close eye on those demonstrators. Roughly 60 protesters took up camp at the Corman Quad on Drexel's campus just after 7 p.m. So this is Saturday night, and it happened after hundreds of people had gathered actually at City Hall as part of the Philly-Palestine Coalition's NACMA Day, NACBA. I don't know if you've heard of that.
NACBA. Yeah, I'm actually a card-carrying member.
Yeah.
I'm celebrating it right now.
Yes. So we got that going on. Protesters are currently, they demand that Drexel divest from any companies or partnerships negatively impacting Palestinians, to publicly support a ceasefire to redistribute its financial profits to support the Palestinian economy, rebuild Gaza, disclose investments, and defund the police.
Oh, well, of course.
Okay, so organizations and groups that have lists of demands, what do we call them? We call them terrorist groups.
Terrorists. That's the first word that comes to mind for me.
People are holding hostages, right? Yes. That's who has lists of demands.
Correct.
Not protesters. Yeah. These are our demands, and we will not...
Like, if you're Drexel, have you been in a coma for the last 7 months? Did you not just see what happened at Columbia and Penn? Like, now, once they officially say it's time to close up shop,
yeah,
they better arrest them if these people don't abide by what they're demanding, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have a right to protest, but once you're told to get off the property, you better do it. I don't want to hear any shenanigans this week, Drexel. Let's go.
No shenanigans.
No shenanigans.
And no shenanigans, well, that's why today you'll see beefed up security on the University of Pennsylvania campus. Today is graduation.
Oh, boy.
So let's hope that they don't have any problems there, but they have beefed up security. Philadelphia police on the lookout as well. So we have that going on, and a lot of alerts as far as that one goes. So Norristown police working to track down a driver from after a pedestrian was killed, who police say this driver was a hit and run, left that pedestrian dead on the road after striking the victim. Victim's red shoe in the middle of the road there, as well as additional clothing. In other words, this person was struck so hard, the driver going so fast, that the person was thrown, and even their shoes and I guess some of their clothing items thrown from them. So it's a heavily traveled intersection of Main and Markley Streets closed as police investigate. They haven't said if the victim was crossing in the pedestrian walk at the time. So this one's still under investigation. It's not known if this was a stranger. Was it a hit? Was this on purpose? We don't know. We do know that Sean Diddy has apologized after that video, horrible video of him, and he's now admitted that he beat his ex-girlfriend. I don't know how he could deny it, but he did come out and apologize.
Yeah, he's only sorry that he got caught and that it got exposed. By the way, what level of scumbag do you have to be to sit on that footage for 8 years?
Yeah,
I mean, that happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, with all the... remember the raid a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a few months ago now at this point, of his property? I remember he was on the run or whatever. People were wondering if he was in that chartered flight to the Caribbean. It's all coming out now because they're making sure this guy goes away for a long time.
Well, then you wonder if did law enforcement have anything to do with the leak?
Could very well be the case. A lot of pictures circulating over the weekend, too, of Diddy and Obama back in the day.
Well, and Diddy and Trump, too.
Yeah.
He's
scumbag.
Let's go.
Since we talked about, we had some unfortunate...
Just shows you the different fees. It's just like, I'm sorry. It's just something. That's why I hate Twitter. That's why nobody should get their news from Twitter.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to go off on Twitter about that viral video over the weekend of the side-by-side of Biden. You know what I'm talking about with that one?
What's that? No.
No?
No. I don't spend my life on Twitter.
All right, I'm not talking about Biden and Trump because obviously Nick has the big take he's going to talk about. But I do, my final story, I want to end on a positive note that Kylie Kelce, who's of course married to Eagles center Jason Kelce, is speaking at Cabrini University's final commencement ceremony. So Delco University announcing the decision on last week, or that it'll be this week. And the university is set to close at the end of 2023, at the end of this school year, marking this as the final graduating class. And so actually that's not true. She just spoke yesterday. When I'm looking at all these different graduations, so they'd initially announced it on a Tuesday, but in any event, they're set to close. So Kylie Kelsey's a graduate.
How about that?
Cabrini, after what, nearly 70 years, I believe? She graduated Cabrini in 2017 and spoke at the undergrad ceremony just yesterday. So pretty cool that they got a Kelsey. I don't know if the hubby was there, but it's sad. And we haven't heard a lot of, hasn't made a lot of headlines, but it's a nice university.
Mm-hmm.
Our own Daniel Valdez. Didn't Daniel go to Cabrini?
I think so.
Daniel
Valdez?
He went to Newman.
Oh, did he go to Newman?
That's right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. See? Went to Newman. Didn't go to Cabrini. That's why they're closing.
Same thing.
But in any event, lots of college graduations and bittersweet, obviously, for them, as it was the final graduation of the year, and she spoke yesterday. Turn 7 liquidations, store closing, turn 7, must liquidate, vacate everything, to the bare walls at both massive Turn 7 liquidation centers must go. Thousands of items are now below cost, but you got to hurry. Philadelphia Mills, Morristown Mall, Turn 7 store closing, liquidation, Turn 7. Thank you for sponsoring us as we look at our Phils beating the Nationals 11-5. And we have an incredible forecast this week. It's going to be a hot one.
What are they, 34 and 14 or something like that?
They're on top of the world right now. This is going to be a great summer.
It took them, what did I hear? It took them until September to get 20 games above 500, mm-hmm. and they've done it by May 20th.
Yeah, I can't recall a team getting off to this hot of a start in Philadelphia Philly baseball history in the last, I don't know, when did the whole dynasty start? It was like 16 years ago when they won that World Series. Since then, I can't recall a start like this.
Do you think they're peaking too early? 6-1-0.
It's like the guy who peaked in sixth grade.
Yeah, that was me.
So today is 77 degrees, tomorrow 84, Wednesday 87. Look at this forecast. Wednesday 87. Wow. We are Thursday 88. So Thursday is your hottest day of the week. The weekend, cross your fingers, but the weekend, looking at Friday 84, Saturday 80 degrees. Saturday's the better day. Sunday, as of this moment, looks like some rain could come through and drop us down to mid-70s. So, unfortunately, Sunday and Monday do look like mid-70s and rain, but they're always wrong. It's early.
Good.
Yeah, Kelly Company News Live.
It was not supposed to be nice yesterday.
I know. It was beautiful.
See?
Great.
I know.
They're always wrong, even sometimes 24 hours out. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I just say what today is going to be because it changes.
Yeah. There you go.
So,
Carissa asked for a Greg Stocker grass update. Remember my seed?
Yes, how's your seed?
How's your seed, pal?
It's, the grass grew very nicely, thank you very
much.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah? You take pride in your lawn, don't you?
I do.
Attaboy.
I do.
I like it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carissa.
Yeah. All right. 6:12 on this Monday morning. Let's kick off another week with another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Yeah, the Big Take today brought to you by Wawa, Trump, Biden, and the battle for the black vote. Right off the top, let me make it very clear, Donald Trump will not win the black vote. Joe Biden will carry the black vote, but Donald Trump doesn't have to win the black vote. He just has to keep chipping away and keep making history as arguably the most loved Republican of all time by African-American voters. Trump senses weakness. Trump smells blood in the water, and I think Trump is making a play and ramping up for what could be the Biden election kill shot. Over the last 48 to 72 hours, it's become very clear that Donald Trump feels like he can win this election in November because more black voters than ever are going to ditch the Democrats. In 2016, Donald Trump got roughly 6% of the black vote against Hillary Clinton. In 2020, that number doubled to 12% against Joe Biden. And I've been saying for months that I think he will be somewhere between 20 and 25% in 2024 in the rematch against Joe Biden. But here's some data from CNN to further validate my assumption. Listen and watch this clip.
But look at this number for Donald Trump, 22%. Where was Donald Trump at this point 4 years ago in the polls? He was just at 9% of the vote. So he's seen more than a doubling in his support among African Americans. This margin, which was in the 70s, just 4 years ago. Look at where it is now, 69 minus 22. That puts it in the 40s. My goodness gracious. If this held through the general election, obviously we're still months away, this would be by far the best performance for a Republican candidate among black voters in a generation, two generations, probably since 1960 and Richard Nixon against John F. Kennedy. That's how long we're really talking about when we're looking at this margin here. This could be a truly historic margin. It's quite a troubling sign for the Biden campaign, too.
Boy, that diversity, equity, and inclusion blueprint is sure paying dividends, isn't it? But this is why the Biden administration just 3 weeks ago put a pause on their menthol cigarette ban. Headline from CNN over the weekend. Biden administration delays proposed ban on menthol cigarettes. Here's an excerpt. A proposed ban on menthol cigarettes in the U.S. will, quote, take significantly more time. That according to the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, who released a statement just on Friday, delaying a decision that has posed political risks for President Joe Biden as he runs for re-election. Quote, this rule has garnered historic attention, and the public comment period has yielded an immense amount of feedback, including from various elements of the civil rights and criminal justice movement. It's clear that there are still more conversations to have and that they will take significantly more time. An administration official declined to specify further what the current timeline for a final decision might be, saying there was a need to speak with more groups and work through the concerns that have been raised. Quote, hard to put a timeline on that. Menthol cigarettes have become a pivotal issue for Biden, who is facing an election year with concerns over a drop-off in turnout from black voters. Minority groups, especially black people, have been aggressively targeted with menthol marketing by tobacco companies, according to the CDC, and menthol cigarettes have contributed to widened health disparities. So, what is it, Joe? Are you more concerned about the health of black voters, or are you more concerned about their vote and their vote for you? But Republicans are pandering for votes as well to win over black voters. Headline from Fox News, quote, young black and Republican, House conservative aims to win black voters over with cognac and cigars. Texas Republican Wesley Hunt argues Republicans can win over black voters if they show up where they are. Here's an excerpt. Republicans are, quote, ramping up efforts to reach out to black voters as a critical November election approaches with President Biden, a Democrat appearing to lose support with minorities. Wesley Hunt, Republican from Texas, who is a big fan of Donald Trump's, is spearheading an initiative to recruit black voters, particularly black men, into the party's fold after Trump showed in 2020 surprising strength with that traditionally Democratic constituency. Hunt said, Trump's popularity with black men is, quote, a phenomenon. Hunt also said, quote, Republicans need to fish where the fish are. Hunt aims to change that with a series of events this summer he's calling Congress, Cognac, and Cigars. And then also this weekend, news coming down that Donald Trump is heading back to New York, but this time for a rally in the South Bronx. Yes, the South Bronx. The rally will be held this upcoming week, but the Bronx is already showing out their support in anticipation of Trump coming to the Bronx. Listen and watch this march from over the weekend. For those not watching on YouTube, signs that read Black Lives MAGA, pretty clever, Black Patriots for Trump, and maybe the best sign of all, quote, young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is, quoting and mocking Governor Kathy Hochul's idiotic and racist statement just a few weeks ago. And then we get to Tim Scott blasting the big guy over the weekend. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott slamming President Joe Biden on Saturday for, quote, pandering to black voters in his two-day campaign swing through Atlanta, Georgia, and Detroit, Michigan this weekend, and predicted that they will support Republican Donald Trump in, quote, historic numbers come November. Scott went on to say, quote, Biden sometimes says, you can't be black if you don't vote for me. Or he'll say something as asinine as, Republicans want to put you back in chains. That was according to Scott, the GOP's only sitting African-American senator. But, quote, last time I checked, the only person restraining black economic growth is Joe Biden and Bidenomics. That is Tim Scott telling Fox News. But CNN can't stop covering the disturbing trend for Democrats, and that trend is black voters bailing on the big guy. Listen and watch this clip.
A new Fox News poll shows just how much President Biden's support among black voters has fallen since the last election. Take a look at this. In 2020, he enjoyed a dominant 75-point margin, but now that margin has dropped to just 49 points. What are you hearing from voters out there about why this is, and what is the Biden team's plan to try to turn these numbers around?
You know, Wolf, I spoke to black voters earlier this year for some reporting, and their concerns are primarily economic. It's a deep frustration with stagnant wages. It's anxiety about being able to afford a home. They feel as though they keep voting for Democrats and their lives aren't getting any materially better.
It's the economy, stupid, as somebody once famously said. So stop taking the bait. And I think now more than ever, people will. Here's Kevin Jenkins speaking this weekend in the South Bronx, encouraging minorities to elect Donald Trump. Listen and watch this clip.
About outside noise, we got to come together, Latino, Black Americans, White Americans, Jew Americans, to save this country. They are only interested in stripping us of our sovereignty, stripping us of our rights, stripping us of our religious rights, stripping us of our freedom of speech. They are moving fast. And we have to get together to make sure we support Donald Trump, to make sure we have somebody in the White House that will stand up for us. That's what it's all about. It's not about the outside noise. It's about us making noise together to save this country.
If you thought Harlem was fired up a few weeks ago at the bodega to see Donald Trump, just wait until you see the Bronx coming up in a matter of days. But that's just one man. How about a second? Here's Dion Powell of the Bronx County Conservative Party supporting Donald Trump and also blasting New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Listen and watch this final clip.
We're all here to support President Donald Trump. And I'm also the Assistant State Director of Blexit.
Yay!
Black exit the democratic plantation mentality of thinking. And we're here to say that black lives, black lives, black lives, thank you very much, family. So we're calling out our black misleadership today here in the Bronx. And we're getting so many people on the Trump train. But we're here to address Kathy Hochul. And since the Bronx is the bluest county in America, yeah, always the poorest county in America. We're making a few changes. Thanks to the Bronx Conservative Party, we have our first Republican elected in 40 years, thanks to the Bronx Conservative Party. I think we should have... And we're going to keep it going with Donald Trump. And now we have a little chant in the South Bronx. It's called, Don't Vote Democrat.
Don't vote Democrat.
Don't vote Democrat. Don't vote Democrat. Don't vote Democrat.
Now, it's obvious that New York is not in play for Donald Trump or for any Republican. I firmly believe that. But I want people to pay attention this fall to these patterns in big blue cities, in states that are swing states that could very well determine this election. Think about it from Philadelphia to Atlanta to Detroit to Chicago to Miami. And then look at these swing states. Look at North Carolina. Look at Georgia. Look at Nevada. Look at Arizona. Look at Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And see how many black voters roll with Trump this time around. And those big cities that typically go Democrat in those swing states, look at Charlotte, North Carolina. Look at Atlanta, Georgia. Look at Las Vegas, Nevada. Phoenix, Arizona. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. All Trump could need to win these swing states is just a small uptick in the percentage of black voters, and the swing states could be his, and the election could be his. The battle for the black vote is one of the two or three most indispensable variables this November, and both Donald Trump and Joe Biden are well aware. And that's the big take.
The big take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you this morning by Wawa. Wawa has pizza. It's made fresh and it tastes great. I've had it myself. And now the price is great, too. Get the pizza you crave starting at $7.99 after 4 p.m. because you got to have a Wawa. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on the conversation at 1210 WPHT on social media. And, of course, you can be a part of the Kale & Company comment community on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll come back, get thoughts and reactions on that. And also, no more debates. But Trump wants Biden drug tested. We roll on live here on a Monday morning. It's Kale & Company here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The New York Knicks are out. Sorry, Phil Elmquist. But Indiana Pacers at Boston Celtics tonight. No, tomorrow night, excuse me, Tuesday night. And then the Dallas Mavericks at the Minnesota Timberwolves. NBA playoffs have tipped off, but it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. I'm going to take the Celtics tomorrow night -9.5 and the Mavericks +4. It's $150 to use on same game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg to get started. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD and the official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Happy Monday. Let's go. Back to work we go. Three-day weekend coming up. Let's finish strong, as they say. Nick Dawn and Greg. It's Kale & Company here. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. A big shout-out to Peter McKeon, Highlight Electric, Clifton Heights, PA, who has commandeered the playlist and all of the musical rejoiners this week.
Woo-hoo!
From Greg Stocker, because he was a huge donor.
Yep.
For our Travis Mannion Radiothon.
Nice.
Stocker doesn't give up control of the music very easily.
I gotta say, though,
unless it's for a good cause.
His list for today is amazing.
You like it?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it's all songs I would play anyway.
So. Okay.
You're hired, Peter.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Don. Highlight Electric, Clifton Heights, PA. Thank you, Peter.
Yes, very very good stuff. So Stocker, Phil Almquist, and Peter McKeon will have a trifecta musical podcast later on 1210 today, talking about all the great music from the days gone by. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. I've got some great numbers here on where race relations were under Barack Obama and under Donald Trump compared to where they are now with the Biden administration, and also some amazing quotes as the New York Times did an interview with swing state voters who regret supporting Joe Biden in 2020. We'll give you some of those quotes coming up in just a few moments. But I threw up a poll question on Twitter. Phil, if you want to maybe copy and paste it and put it up in the YouTube chat as well, that would be good following the big take. And the poll question is as follows. In 2016, Donald Trump got 6% of the black vote. In 2020, he got 12%. What percentage this time around do you think he will get? And is it enough to win the swing states? And I just threw up four different ranges, 12 to 15%, 15 to 20%, 20 to 25%, or 25 plus. If you want to vote on that, either on the YouTube chat or on Twitter, you could certainly do so. But I was a little surprised, I got to tell you, Dawn, seeing that Trump's coming back to New York. We've seen the support that he had from the union workers when he was getting ready for his case with the Alvin Bragg case. Now, I think today is, what, day 19 of the trial. So this had to be 21, 22 days ago, something to that effect. And then we saw the reaction when he was in Harlem stopping by the bodega. And now he's going to the South Bronx. I mean, that's like, you know, I think of Yankee Stadium when I hear the word the Bronx. And I still think he's got no shot in New York. I don't think he can win New Jersey either. But I do think it is fascinating that he sees some sort of value to go back to places where historically he probably has very little shot. And I think both are really looking at this right now, both Trump and Biden, saying, you know what, we can ill afford to not cover all of our bases. And the black vote is a major factor, I think, this time around, largely because of the economy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he loves New York. He's from New York.
Well, yeah.
And I think, you know, it's almost like in sports, if you're from a certain town, you always want to play in that town.
Yeah, you dream of going back there one day, right?
And I think that it's just, it's one of those things where he, you know, just feels like there, you know, there are so many people, obviously, that can't stand what's going on in New York with the immigration, you know, the illegal immigration, with the crime. And I think he sees an advantage, an edge there.
Yeah.
That he can make some headway.
Right.
Now, what's this? It's a Trump rally Bronx MAGA cruise.
Mm-hmm.
On the evening of May 22nd this week.
Oh.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see anything about a cruise.
Why didn't we know about this? We could have the Kale and Company cruise.
Haven't you been on enough cruises? Didn't you go to Italy for like 12 weeks?
It wasn't a cruise.
Oh, that's right.
We did have fun at conservativetours.com.
Right.
Going to Italy. But it's the South Bronx rally Thursday, but it's the Trump rally Bronx MAGA cruise. The evening of May 22nd.
Things I didn't see coming for 1,000, Alex.
I know.
Right?
I love it.
Yeah. So we'll see how.
An evening to remember.
Where are they? What's the cruise?
I'm
on the Hudson?
I'm making this up. Sailing from Midtown Manhattan the evening before the big rally, Trump rally Bronx.
Okay.
Party like a rock star with New York's finest MAGA Patriots. Only 150 tickets are available at $99 each. Food and entertainment included, but you're told to board at 6 p.m. for a 6:30 cruising event.
Yeah.
Bring your own beer, wine, and liquor.
Oh, it's BYOB as well.
It's BYOB, MAGA. I'm not making it up. I don't see that it's sold out.
Okay.
It's only 150 people.
Okay. There you go. I want to play you this audio because Joe was doing his typical pandering over the weekend as he was stumping for the black votes. Greg, this was K7, if you could play this, as Biden once again trying to stoke division by playing the race card, which I think now more than ever, less people are buying and taking the bait. Here's the big guy from the weekend.
It's natural to wonder. Democracy you hear about actually works for you. What is democracy? If black men are being killed in the street, what is democracy? Betrayal of broken promises still leave black communities behind. What is democracy? You have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot. And most of all, what does it mean, as you've heard before, to be a black man who loves his country, even if it doesn't love him back in equal measure.
More divisive rhetoric and nonsense from Joe Biden. You can look up the 2023 interracial homicides, and the stats show a totally different picture from what Democrats tried to paint and portray. That was Joe Biden telling black graduates that they're being hunted down in the streets. I saw this great column with some data over the weekend from the Gallup poll. It's once again Joe Biden telling black graduates that America hates them and they're in danger. And it's straight out of the Obama playbook, courtesy of OutKick. In 2008, months before Obama won the election, 70% of Americans, including most black people, believed that race relations were somewhat or very good in the United States of America. That's a Gallup poll. That number dropped by nearly 20 points by Obama's last year of 2016, when less than half of black adults considered race reaction and relations good. The number of black Americans who worry a, quote, great deal about race increased from around 40% to 70% during Obama's presidency. And from the end of Trump's presidency to Biden's first year in office, the number of Americans who worried a great deal about race increased from 31% to almost 50%. Statistically, Obama and Biden stoking far more racial fear than Trump ever did. And then I found this to be great. The New York Times interviewed a bunch of swing state voters who regret supporting Joe Biden in 2020. I just want to read you some of these quotes and get your reaction to this. So the New York Times spoke to a number of swing state voters who explained why they might vote for former President Donald Trump this time around rather than President Biden in 2024, even if they don't like the man, Donald Trump himself. Quote, the biggest mistake of my life ex-Biden voter and Las Vegas retiree Frederick Westbrook told the New York Times. Westbrook started driving for Lyft to supplement his income in retirement, the Times reported. Quote, as a black man in America, I felt he was doing unjust things, he said regarding Trump. Quote, he's got a big mouth. He's not a nice person. But everything is just about the economy, Westbrook continued. I don't really trust Donald Trump at all. I just think housing, food, my car, my insurance, every single piece of living has gone up. The Times article, written by Claire Miller, Bianca Pajaro, and Ruth Igelnick, noted a survey of swing voters. 14% of the respondents who said they voted for him in 2020, voters like Mr. Westbrook, who say now they will support Mr. Trump or a third-party candidate or are undecided or won't vote. The article also mentioned that while abortion remains a key issue, others such as inflation, immigration, and foreign policy have made them unsatisfied with Joe Biden's failed leadership. Another voter, 61-year-old veteran counselor Christopher Sheffield, said he will support Trump despite his personal reservations because he believes the former president can prevent the next world war. Quote, I'm an African American. Of course I worry about racism, Sheffield, who lives in Georgia, said. But guess what? I've been dealing with that my whole life. While he said he thinks Biden is, quote, a good guy, he thinks the president, quote, looks weak. Quote, with North Korea, Putin, and all those boys ready to act, I think they will be a little bit more reluctant to challenge Trump than they would Biden. So those are just two of the quotes there. I've got two more for you. By contrast, 25-year-old Jared Johnson said his focus shifted away from global affairs. Our conversations are suddenly less about what's happening overseas and more about how we are struggling here, too, in America. And then Virginia Ferris, who is 54, with four adult children struggling with the economy, decried, quote, Biden's policies of overspending and printing money. Amelia Earwood, 47, postal worker in Georgia, says all of our core values are gone, and I'm just not pleased at all. While she called Trump a, quote, horrible human being, she said, quote, she's voting on his policies and thinks he can strengthen this country out, while Biden made a ginormous mess out of it. And that's, to me, what I would say to some of my family members on my wife's side or friends. You don't need to love Trump. You don't even need to like him. This isn't about who your daughter's marrying. I don't care what he does in his personal life. If you just compare the policies, because it's very rare that we get one president, another president, and then a rematch a third time around for a third, well, not a third term, but running for a third term with Trump. All you have to do is put the two resumes side by side and say, who made my life better? Who gave me more money in my pocket? Who was tougher on crime? Who was tougher on the border? Did we have world wars going on? No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. It's a very simple thing to do if you can get out of your feelings. So I do think it is very interesting to see a lot of these swing state voters with regrets, black voters more than ever willing to ditch Democrats. Because I think black people at the end of the day, they're tired of the same crap. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to elect a Republican mayor. We're never going to see a Republican mayor in Philadelphia. I get that. You might not see a Republican governor in some traditional blue states. But at the presidential level, when you compare what you have now versus what you had 4 years ago, minus the year of 2020, which was a disaster of epic proportions, a year that none of us ever wants to relive again, I think it's pretty obvious to compare these two resumes side by side.
What does success look like for, because right now on the YouTube chat, what's the percentage of black votes Trump will get? 12 to 15%, 15 to 20%, 20 to 25% or 25% and over.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, 15 to 20% is winning.
Yeah, that seems to be the wheelhouse number.
So, you know, we've said on this show that, like, it's not like, I don't think, me personally, I don't think that he's going to get above 15% of the black vote. I think 15% is being generous.
Is 15 enough, though?
But all you have to do is take a little percentage here, a little percentage there, a little percentage here,
right,
a little percentage there, and it makes up a win. So no, he doesn't have to win 25% of the black vote to win the election.
Right.
He just needs a little bit more here and a little bit more there.
Well, right.
Because it's such a raised razor thin margin.
Well, think about that. If even if it's just 15% and he was 12% 4 years ago, that's a 3% uptick. What's the total number of votes that that translates to be and equates to? I'm not sure what the math is, but you take just 3% there with the black vote more. You take, let's say, I don't know, 5% more with the Hispanic vote. Now, you got to factor in what you might lose post Roe v. Wade with females, and maybe that's a net negative for Trump at the end of the day. He could legitimately gain with black voters, Hispanic voters, you know, moderates, independents, but then lose a sizable portion of females following SCOTUS and Roe v. Wade. So it's a calculus equation that makes my head explode, and maybe we'll be able to get those results after the election this November.
I think that the Hispanic vote, that's why I always look at it and look at those numbers, because I do think that Democrats are worried about Trump, how much of the Hispanic vote will Trump get? Because think about it, and quite frankly, anybody who has gone through the rigmarole to become a legal citizen of this country, mm-hmm. or anybody who right now is following all the rules and you've been on your path to citizenship, right? You know how difficult that is. They are the individuals that they are our fellow Americans who are furious about Biden just opening things up and allowing everybody in, and among them known criminals, according to the FBI. And so that's a huge vote, and I think it's going to become more important than the black vote. Even though Trump learned from Hillary Clinton, you know, remember that when she took Wisconsin for granted? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even go to Wisconsin, just took it for granted. Trump takes nothing for granted. And I think that's a key to his success in business, in life, and now campaigning. He has learned that.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think the second time around, not only learning that, but who to keep, you know, at arm's length apart, who not to allow in, you know, those never Trumpers. You know, when we had him on, you know, I asked him the question two Fridays ago. You know, I think it was the question that we had from an emailer that I think it was Duffy Domino that sent us that, something to the effect of, what did you do the first time around that you learned that you won't do a second time around? And it's, you know, he was, what did he spend, a total of 17 nights at the White House in his first term. And now he's got a lay of the land as to how it works, how difficult it is, the monster that he's trying to fight. So it's not only, you know, not taking anything for granted, but it's the second time around of saying, you know what, I've learned, I know who the snakes are, who the weasels are, you know, who to let into my inner circle, so forth and so on, who will sabotage my administration. So I think it's something we all capitalize on. The more you get used to something, the more you're around something, you learn the lay of the land, so to speak. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. We'll come back, put a bow on the first hour, and then we've got to get to Biden's rejection of additional debates and a demand from Donald Trump. We're back after this here on Kale & Company.
I got to talk about Chapman. Congratulations, 30 years in the industry. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. Just talking to some people over the weekend, they said, you know, we really need a front door. We called Chapman. Mike is coming out. I said, you're kidding me. That's awesome. And I get that feedback from you all the time when I'm out and about, how pleased you are with the Chapman family team. You know, by now, if I needed windows, doors, or siding, I would only trust the Chapman family team. But right now, I want you to also think about Chapman when you think about siding and especially stucco remediation. I would trust nobody else with this important investment in your home. So if you're thinking of updating your current siding or maybe removing that current stucco and then replacing it with siding, think Chapman and think James Hardie Plank, so beautiful, or all the beautiful choices for vinyl siding as well. It's going to add value to your home, beauty to your home. Get this on the calendar now. These certified Chapman installers are the professionals you want on this job. So windows and doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, just give Chapman a call. You can text or call 610-431-8898, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Mustard. It's Kale & Company. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully all of you getting your workday started with a bang. What's on the cut sheet coming up? 7:45. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two, and then we will get to the big guy saying no more debates, two is plenty. Donald Trump demanding Joe Biden take a drug test. More protests, the University of Penn arresting 19 people. Drexel going through the charade as well.
Virtual.
Virtual.
So dumb.
It's unbelievable. Could
Aren't
you imagine
done with classes though? Like school's over, isn't it?
I always thought colleges were done by like the 10th, 12th of May.
Yeah.
I know, but well, there's a different like I you know, your classes and your final exams are done, but I think you know, commencements and graduations go from now through probably Memorial Day, maybe even early June. Yeah. I didn't go to my actual diploma.
I didn't either.
For high school or college.
I didn't either.
I said, just send it in the mail.
Yeah.
I got no time for this. Yeah. Too hot out. Not sweating with a dress shirt on. 855-839-1210 is the phone number if you want to jump in. And then the Harrison Butker backlash continues over the weekend as the owner, the Chiefs, the daughter of the Chiefs owner comes out and defends Harrison Butker. Also one of the very few vocally outspoken female conservatives at ESPN comes out and defends Harrison Butker. And of course, you know, these big left-wing newspapers around the country demanding that the Chiefs get rid of Harrison Butker. That courtesy of the Kansas City Star and also the Houston Chronicle. We'll hit on those stories as we continue. And obviously a lot of stuff in the news when it comes to colleges, but a very good local story. We've been talking about Gen Z and the Tool Belt generation. Very good story out of Fox 29 here locally in Philadelphia, how 85 grads in Delco have lined up trade jobs upon graduation already.
Such a great story.
Mm-hmm. It is
such a great story.
You talk about being ahead of the ball.
You take that in comparison to UPenn and Drexel.
Yeah.
I would take that Delaware County trade school a million times
over. Like, who are you more proud of? Your kid who's got a job lined up right away to go into the trades making 80 grand, or your little snot-nosed punk kid who's hanging out in a tent that's going to owe 200 grand?
The dichotomy of those two stories of these punks that have these demands at Drexel and then these 85 students who already have, you know, jobs lined up making it good salary.
You think any of these welders are walking around saying, I'm immune compromised. I'm going on a hunger strike.
Exactly.
Get lost.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this, that, you know, you look at Drexel, 60 people are out there. I mean, maybe 100, but I think right now it's 60.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you think of these universities, UPenn, the vast majority of the students are serious students who are going to class who are not anti-Jewish or anti-Israel.
Of course.
It only takes 60 yahoos who, by the way, 30 to 60% of which are not even actual students.
That's a good point.
They're trespassers.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I see here, all of these universities have a marketing issue because they need to come out and say, these are trespassers.
Right.
If you want to get a permit to protest on campus, you need a permit. And the first thing you need to do is show school ID. Mm-hmm. If you're not a student on this private property, you're a potential danger to our other students. Get out.
Yes.
You're trespassers.
I like it. Get out. It's a very underrated two word. There you go. All right. 855-839-1210. It's Kale and Company. Hour two is on the way. Stay right there. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.